Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show. All right. Hey, everybody. It's Coach Chris from Play in Faith. I am excited today. We have got an amazing guest. We are here with Jim Brown, the lead pastor at Grace Community Church. He's doing some incredible things in the community and has always found a way to make fitness and sports part of the equation. I think you're going to really enjoy it. So how's it going today, Jim?
It's going great. I'm excited to be here today with you, man, and talk about how these two things collide together, sports and faith. So they naturally come together, and boy, they impact a lot of people in our world.
Yeah, it is incredible. And I think, you know, obviously you're a big sports fan as well as an athlete. And you've just seen it a lot lately, the rise of these post-game press conferences, athletes boldly proclaiming their faith. And I think it's really cool that athletics can be that vehicle bring faith.
Even this week, I'm a Washington Commanders fan. Watch Marcus Mariota, who filled in for Jaden Daniels, talking about his faith and how he had an opportunity to play, and he gave God all the credit. So it's just fun. With a platform like that, why not share about what you believe in God?
Amen, man. You're seeing it left and right. So one of the things that I think is most interesting in your career, you are part of a really exciting men's ministry called Fight Club. Could you tell us a little bit about that ministry and kind of how it started and what it aims to do for men?
Yeah, it comes from Nehemiah 4:14. Sometimes people think of the movie Fight Club. Hey, we can't talk about Fight Club.
So a little different.
Yeah, it's a little different. But fight for your brothers, sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. You know, Nehemiah gathered a group of men together, and boy, they wanted to rebuild the wall. And so in rebuilding the wall, they needed to gather some men together. So this ministry was birthed out of, honestly, seeing that men do life better together. And if you put them on an island by themselves, loneliness surfaces, and enemy picks them off. So after doing some a tough mutter with my staff here, after doing some men's retreats, let's try to do something that brings men together. So in 2011, this idea was birthed. Let's get guys in squads together. Guys always, when you get out of high school, where do they go together to be on team sports or
exactly.
Team gathering? Just isn't anything there. And so this idea, God kind of dropped out of heaven. I set up my computer and put a creed together. And I'll just say this. We were hoping for 100 guys to show up. It was like Field of Dreams at midnight. There's a whole other story why we gathered at midnight. But men kept coming. We were weighing them when they were coming in. And I said, guys, we need to throw the scales away. And before I knew it, 450 men showed up because they were hungry for camaraderie together, doing life together. And I remember standing at the front of the auditorium, Chris, and here were my thoughts. Lord, help me not to blow this.
That's a lot of pressure, right? You're trying to do just some small ministry, and then 450 men show up, and many from beyond your congregation.
And men were longing, you know.
Yeah.
Like I say, once you get out of high school, they're no longer on team sports, they don't have gatherings together, and they're hungry to get together and do something together. And why not bring them together for... So Fight Club was built from Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and his relationship with God and man. The piece of that most people forget about is stature. Jesus grew in health, and that's a big part of Fight Club, too. If one area is out of whack, fitness is out of whack, it impacts the other area. So even in our discipleship part of it, there's some running. You know, man.
I do. So the first time I met you, at least from afar, it was probably about 5 years ago. You know, I was attracted to this idea of some of the teamwork, the camaraderie, the sports component is what brought me in. Like, we live a decent bit of ways from over here, you know, a couple towns over. And so the first time I meet you, it's 2:30 in the morning, and you are sprinting around a 100-foot bonfire with a flamethrower strapped to your back, screaming, Jesus, Jesus. And I said, you know what? I think this is my kind of place, man.
It is, man.
I like it.
Yeah. And that's just the connection that we have inside of every man, I would say, and even men, is a desire to compete, a desire to win, and a desire to lead. So Fight Club gives us that component to become better men. So, and a lot of our themes, as you know, are sports themes.
Sure.
They connect well with the heart of men. And, you know, we love to see victory. So, doing Fight Club is challenging, it's life giving, but you become a better man as a result of it.
Yeah. So, obviously, a lot of the challenges are physically based, right? And one of the things that we've kind of built Play in Faith on is
sports are wonderful and these athletic goals are fantastic, but oftentimes athletics is the vehicle to build some of these other life skills. So why do you think like the team component, or like we call, you call them squads, like why is that such an important component along with some of the athletic and physical components?
Yeah, for me personally, I like when there's an assignment in front of me or a goal in front of me. Yeah, you know, be quite frank, if you're keeping score, you might as well play to win. That's kind of been my mentality.
Sure.
It's been from the whole way up. So I like to assemble people that are stronger than me, better than me, and watch the uniqueness of their gifts come together for a task that's in front of us, especially when you're running the race for Jesus. You want to look at a guy and say, you have something to bring to the table, and then you try to find that and let him bring it to the table. And when you win as a team, there's nothing better. There just isn't.
Yeah. So obviously you played sports growing up.
I did, yeah.
So I love that. One of the things we talk a lot about is that sports is just this fantastic dress rehearsal for life. It teaches us how to compete, how to be teammates, how to win, maybe more importantly, how to lose, how to set goals. So how did being a huge sports fan, playing sports even in high school and college, really impact some of your ministry and some of your approach to life?
Yeah, I mean, you can't get around Paul. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament of the Bible. And how many times does he talk about finish the race, run the race, who cut in on you, fight the good fight. And then all the analogies, too, that the awards that we receive as Christ followers, like there's this sense where we're striving to be more like Christ, and then he rewards us, and then we give our crowns back to him. So, I mean, the metaphors in the New Testament are clear. Paul uses the farmer, uses the athlete, and so in knowing that, even think about the context from which the Bible was written in the time, even the Roman Colosseum, they had gladiators. It's
sure.
always been a piece of us as human beings, and now I think when I look at the Word of God, Paul says in Galatians, I think it's 5:7, he says, who cut in on you? And then he says, I don't beat my body aimlessly. So there's purpose behind disciplines that happen because of sports. I think personally help us even in other disciplines in life, knowing
sure.
God, spending time with him, you know, being a bright light. So scripture is full of analogies of sports. I mean, I like Paul. I think he's a sports guy.
I think so too. There's a lot of run your race, right? Like a lot of talk of like victory and running our race and competing and giving our best. And I think for a lot of times for young athletes, especially, we get very caught up in the result and some of the pressure. And I think having that nice spiritual base and something we try to do with some of our mentors too, of really putting sports in the proper context where we're not just trying to win a game, we're trying to win in life. And we're trying to be I think I was phrased to me really well with an interview we did yesterday. Remember, not just sports aren't who we are. We need to remember whose we are.
And, you know, Chris, I've coached a lot like you through the years as their kids kind of came alongside of them and coached basketball, I coached baseball, I coached football. And I remember the relationships that were developed because of that. And sports gives you an incredible platform. Coaching gives you an incredible platform to share what's really deep in your heart and what you believe in about Jesus. I can take you back. Our son, older son, played baseball down New Paris Little League, and so I had developed a relationship with the kids along the way. And so the last game of the year, we kind of gathered them together, and I just presented the gospel, and 10 of the 12 guys gave their lives to Christ. Two of them were already saved, one of which was my son, so he was good to go.
He had a jump start.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But the platform that you have is incredible because of the teamwork that's there, and then God has positioned. Look at all the pro athletes today, just to see the way God has positioned them with a voice. Ohio State University, we have a ministry here. We have a couple that we support that's on Ohio State University. But what's happening there with their football team is unbelievable.
Yes.
God has given them airtime.
It's amazing. Those videos are going viral, and I always wonder how my kids know the same stuff I do. Like, how in the world are our Facebook algorithms spitting out the same videos? But, I mean, they're seeing them. I think every kid on my team has seen these videos of the Ohio State football team just boldly ministering on campus. One of their recent alum was Justin Fields, quarterback of the Jets. They asked him about a football question, and I did, like, a five-minute sermon.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid, it was almost kind of mocked because it was always like you would win and praise Jesus and you didn't hear the athletes praising Jesus when they lost. And the joke was always like, I guess Jesus wasn't rooting for the Commanders, right? Or like, you know, so it almost became like silly. And I'm finding the way that athletes are presenting their faith now is different. It's more authentic. And it does feel like the culture is shifting a little bit.
I would agree. And I think God is platforming athletes today. Like, because let's face it, what happens right now, it's football season. What half of our community is watching football on TV. And so God's knowing, he sees that. So it's a platform to have. You know, I took a healthy lifestyles class at Grace College a long time ago, 30 plus years ago. And I was a freshman, and my prof there said something I'll never forget, and it clicked with me. He said, your heart is a muscle. If you exercise it, it beats less and lasts longer so that you can serve God longer. And so I started this regimen of exercise. I've been a lifelong runner for 45 years, but the reason I am is because the living God lives in me. So even the pure picture of athletics keeps you healthy, allows you to serve God, and have a healthy body too. So I mean, plus Jesus walked everywhere he walked. And if he grew in health, I should grow in health too.
That seems like a fair role model. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly like one of the parts of athletics I think we kind of forget about, right? Because like, we get caught up in the, you know, some of the other life lessons. But obviously, there's a tremendous physical benefit. And when we're physically active and alert, it's a lot easier to endure tough challenges.
There sure is. And there's something about team sports that's pretty powerful. The bond that you have with your coach, the bond that you have with your players, and the connection that you feel there is pretty special. Like, it's not just an individual doing it, but it's a team doing it. And there's something, you know, you can lose together, you can, you know, be disappointed together, you can cry together, you can laugh together, and you can celebrate together. The Bible is full of all the one another's, and athletics allows us to do a whole bunch of one another's.
Yeah. It's the cord of three strands, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you see teams start to really bond. To me, that's my favorite part of it. I mean, I didn't get into coaching. I'm not trying to. I interview coaches that do this for real, right? I'm coaching middle school and elementary girls, but it does often feel like a ministry when you just watch the lessons that really transcend what's happening on the court or the field start to anchor down. I've seen my teams bond and pray together, and it's just really cool. There's not a lot of other environments where you're going to have a bunch of 13, 14 year old kids who are like, hey, you want to pray in front of 1,000 people right now?
Yeah.
and you're seeing it all over the place in like high school and college athletics. So obviously you've done a lot of coaching as well. You know, for people that are in public schools, depending upon where you are, sometimes there's a little bit of that fine line where, so what kind of advice would you have for coaches who really want to minister to their kids through sports, but may not be able to be quite as overt or force it. So what are some things coaches can do to make sure that we're teaching the right lessons, not just X's and O's?
Yeah, I think your best example is you. How do you respond to hardship? How do you respond to a loss? How do you care about someone? Who do you celebrate in victory? I think your life is the best testimony. So let your actions match what you believe and just show that you care, because that is a vehicle. If someone sees that you care and really, really love them, that's an openness for them to listen to you. And who's to say, maybe outside of the actual coaching opportunity, there's something that happens with the parent that week or with them that you have an opportunity. They might say, man, you're different. What is it about you? And they see Jesus in you. And so you pray about it. You don't want to bust through all the barriers that are there, but you want to be a bright light. So let them know that you care about them and love them. And I'm telling you, you have an openness to share the gospel at some point.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, just living that joy and that peace. Yeah. How we treat others. I think we've had that conversation with folks as well. I've seen coaches getting mad because their players are yelling at the ref or they're not focusing. And then I'm like, have you watched what you're doing on the sideline? Right? Like we have mirrored that behavior, right?
Yeah.
So when we're berating officials, like, of course our kids aren't focusing. But just being that example. So we're going to shift gears a little bit here. So you are absolutely a man who is not afraid of doing hard things, not just physical challenges, but you have taken your faith into some bold and dangerous places. I know you have a big mission trip coming up. I know you've done some mission work in the Middle East. So I'm just curious, where do you find the courage to do it? And tell me a little bit about some of those experiences.
Yeah, I think God has wired us all uniquely. And I always, my kids have often said, I should say our kids, by the way, when you're married, it's not you. My kids, it's, they're not virgin birth. You got a wife too, so it's our kids.
They're your kids when they do something wrong.
So thinking through that, our kids have often said, Dad, you need to write a book about your faith stories. So I think you build your faith, your trust in God. But by nature, I've always been someone who's been has been called to adventure. And I can take you back to when ISIS was coming through the Middle East and Iraq, and I remember sitting at my computer in 2014 and seeing brothers and sisters in Christ fleeing their countries, lost everything. Many of their own had their brothers and sisters, moms, dad had their heads lopped off. I remember I just started weeping. I'm sitting at my computer. It's like I just felt like God was saying, Jim, you need to do something. So we did. We grabbed eight men, and we made our way to the Middle East to Erbil, Iraq. We took supplies in there, and we knew it was a very dangerous mission, but we knew God had called us to go there. And from that came four subsequent trips since then. I was there in April of this year, and we had did a men's conference in the Middle East up near Turkey, and we saw 11 Muslims, Kurds, and Iraqis give their lives to Christ. I'm ready to go. I'm going to Cuba here in October, just a few weeks from today. Phil Call, there's some men who've been underground that need encouraged, and they heard about Fight Club, and so I'm going with another man, we're going there, and it's a sketchy place. In fact, last night, found out there would be some spies on the ground, and these guys are standing for their faith. I can come and encourage them. So get to take the gospel to hard places. It's, you know, light shines brighter in dark places.
Yeah, I mean, it just puts a lot into context, because we talk a lot about pressure of making a free throw or hitting a field goal or, you know, taking a PK at the end of, of a match. There has to be a moment at some point in your travels to Iraq where, yes, you've got great faith and, you know, if it's my time to lay it down for the Lord, so be it. But you're still a human being.
Oh, yeah.
There has to be some moments where you are afraid or anxious. So have there been some moments where you're called there, but you're like, oh, Lord, are you sure?
Yeah, I think all of us have fear. It's what we do with our fear. Like, do we hand it over to God? Do we trust in Him? I can remember standing in our hallway here in 2014. The families that were there, all of us felt the call to go to Iraq. And I was saying goodbye to my wife. By the way, she had to line up with that and agree with that, too. I was saying goodbye to our adult children. And to be quite frank, Chris, I'll just be honest, we didn't know whether we were coming back. And I remember our college-age son at the time, Josh, grabbing hold of me and with tears coming down his face, and he said, Dad, I just want to let you know if anything happens, I want to take care of Mom, and I'll take care of Isaiah, and I'll take care of Hannah.
Man.
But even saying that, I just felt like God wanted us to go. And, hey, our days are numbered. God knows when those are. I want to go out sliding in head first to home plate. That's kind of me, man.
Have you seen the kind of viral trend, the guy who collects the photos of walk-off home runs? And I don't know why I find that so moving. Maybe
it's just
because I think of everything in sports terms.
Right.
Like every analogy has something to do with basketball. It's really annoying if you're friends with me. But what a cool way to look at coming home to the Lord, man. It's a walk-off home run and your teammates
are joyful. Can you imagine any better
joyful.
Way? Can
right.
you imagine walk-off home run for the win, you know?
There you go.
Yeah. So knowing that, I feel there's tugs from God, and our world needs Jesus. So why not me? Go, send me, Lord. I'll go, God. So that's kind of where I live.
All right. So the Cuba trip's coming up soon.
Yeah, October 13th through 18th. And it's exciting. It's I get to introduce Fight Club there to them. There's some
that's
men.
Awesome.
They're way braver than us, more courageous than us, that literally their lives could be taken if they're found out to be Jesus followers. And so we have this connection with them.
It's crazy.
And there will be spies on the ground, but we're going to share the good news and hopefully launch a fight club in Cuba. There's only five communist countries still in the world, and Cuba is one of them.
Wow, we'll definitely be praying for you. I told your story last night. I teach at our, you know, our church about a half hour, 45 minutes from here. Do some Wednesday night Bible study with our boys. And talking about a challenge actually came from you like four years ago, where we had to grab someone we didn't know and just pray for them.
Yeah.
And because first we're like, don't you know everybody? And I was like, I don't. There's like 3,000 people in our church. I don't know half of them. I said, no, one, I don't. And I said, two, I was really scared.
Yeah.
And they started laughing. I'm like, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Like, I was scared. And like, if there's any place where you could walk up and pray for a stranger, your church is a pretty safe place, right? It's, I'm not in Cuba. I am not in Iraq. And I found myself really, really nervous. And just to have that kind of, just to think of how bold these folks are to be able to stand up in a place where you could lose your life for your faith. It's just amazing.
Yeah, you're right. Even this most recent trip in April, eight of us went to Iraq. And ISIS is in Syria now doing the same thing that happened in, we would say, in northern Kurdistan. And they showed us videos, and they showed of heads being lopped off, their parents being killed. And I'm telling you, the tug that I felt in my heart, the burden I felt for these people, like, we got to encourage our brothers and sisters. So
amen.
America is safe, relatively speaking, compared to other countries.
Sure.
You know, unfortunately, what we just saw happen over with Charlie Kirk standing up for his faith, that's coming more, we're seeing that more and more.
Yeah, tragedy.
But as far as big picture, these guys live every day, could lose their lives for standing for Jesus.
Yeah, and I think I wanted to walk you down that path for just maybe some encouragement for coaches out there and for some of our young athletes. You know, like I think a lot of teams pray in the locker room. I've always been super proud, my girls, and this is not my doing. They get all the credit, all glory to them and God. They like to pray on the floor because they kind of want to set an example. Like, they realize that even in middle school, you know, they're being high-level athletes, that they are like role models for the younger grade levels and for other kids. And so, I mean, if we can bring the gospel to some of the most dangerous places on earth, we can certainly pray before kickoff and at the free throw line, right? So,
yeah, you
fantastic.
Know, big picture, think about all the prayers that are in the stands that are happening during games, too, from the parents. Holy cow, I don't know how many times I'd pray, let him make that free throw bag. Come on, hit that shot. Come on, block me. You know, I mean, there's a lot happening with Jesus in the stands, too, if you're a Christ follower, too. You know,
way harder in the stands than on the bench.
Oh, like, for sure.
I've been, like, my daughter's coach most of her life, and then there's been a couple times just watching her and my other girls, not biological, but my girls that play for me, watching them play at camps and clinics, and the parents just turn around and laugh. They're like, are you okay? Because it is just surreal to watch them and have to shut up. And to know, like, I'm way more nervous. I'm never nervous during the game when I'm coaching.
Oh, man.
And they're not really that nervous when they're playing.
Yeah.
Watching your kid is agony.
Oh, it's crazy. You know, in coaching, I'll say, Coach, I appreciate that you're coaching, Chris, the input you're having in life. I go back to high school. I ran the 2 mile and the 800 meters, 800 yards, we called it back then, so the half mile. But I had a coach. He was 5'6", strong as can be. He was a football coach, but he was also a soccer or the track coach. And so I always knew on that last turn of that half mile, that last turn, he would bolt across the football field, and his squeaky voice, now you go, Brown, now you go. I hated that voice, but I'm grateful that. So I still think of Coach Martin. You know, he impacted my life. Some of the best people in my life that made them probably the greatest touches and greatest impact go back as coaches. And so coaching has such a great opportunity to really help players, kids, youth, even adults to see potential that God has put in them and encourage them and build it.
Yeah, it's such an incredible blessing. And I know that probably the majority of our listeners are parents, maybe some young athletes. And a lot of time those parents whose kids are top athletes tend to also be their coaches for a lot of the youth stuff. And it's just really, really amazing the level of impact that we are blessed to have. And it stresses the importance of using that properly. So I think one of my biggest prayers before every season has nothing to do with wins and losses. Yes, I want to develop my players. I want them to have the careers and lives they want. But then I've even told this story on stage that my biggest prayer is that at some point in one of the tough moments of life, when they have to make a decision or have to be strong, someday my annoying voice saying, compete, 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 is in the back of their mind, and they find that strength and they go be who God created them to be. And as coaches, I mean, we have that platform, and it's whether it's elementary, middle school, or all the way up to college and pros, like some of the people I interview, it's quite a blessing.
You know, honestly, and a lot, I feel like a coach, even as a pastor.
It's a great analogy.
You know, and I feel like a coach leading Fight Club. And you saw a video I did this week. My words were finish.
Oh, you really are the head coach for 450 men. And I might be getting closer to the older age of the bracket there. I mean, there's some guys that are, you know, 18, 19. Yeah. And then there's some men that are, you know, in their 60s and 70s. Yeah. But you're the head coach for 450 men out here competing.
In life.
Yeah, to win something a lot more important than a basketball or a football game. So as we kind of shift gears and wind down here, I'm seeing a lot of this trend. I've seen like my nephew with like a Bible verse on his eye black in football. A lot of our girls at our high school, you'll see them with like the Bible verses written on their arms. So what are some great verses beyond just the standard? Look, there's nothing wrong with I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but let's get some deep cuts, right? Yeah. So what are some verses that young athletes can draw inspiration from as they do their pregame mental prep or as they're just getting their mind right to compete? What are some favorite verses for athletes?
I think I would just land on Ephesians 3:20, that God can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Mm. And I think, so he can do that through you. Like, you think, this is the abilities I have. This is what I think I can do. But you're not alone. And I always tell guys, if you know Jesus, you have an unfair advantage. Everywhere you go, even when you lace up your sneaks or whether you kick a ball or make a free throw, you're going to that foul line. You're going to that end zone. You got Jesus. You got dwelling in you. You have an unfair advantage. So set your hearts and minds on things above and know your identity. You're not alone. So knowing that, use that ability that's in you, and it's the living God. So from a confidence perspective, you're not alone shooting that free throw shot. From a quarterback perspective, you're not alone. As a receiver, you're not alone. You got an unfair advantage catching that ball, shooting that ball, and throwing that ball. So Ephesians 3:20, every time, think, I can do immeasurably more because God can do immeasurably more. He lives in me.
That's a good one. We'll make sure to link it. Make sure to link it in the comments here for anyone. So any others that are any other favorite verses for athletes? We'll give maybe one or two more, and then we'll let you off the hot seat.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I think in our world we have a lot of starters. We have people that start well. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, I signed up. But when things get a little difficult or there's a couple losses that are piling up, we need finishers. So finish what you started. So, you know, fight the good fight. And when you fight the good fight, part of that is finish what you started. So I would just say, make sure you finish what you started.
Love it. Love it. Well, Jim, thank you so much for being with us today. Some of those verses are in the comments, and thank you for providing some inspiration. Thank you for your ministry with Fight Club. We will absolutely be praying for you next month down in Cuba. And just keep doing dangerous things for the Lord. It is a blessing to have you in the community. So thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
God bless you too, bro. It was good hanging out with you, man.
Thanks for tuning in to the Plan Faith Podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit planfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.